Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White III with the Scripture and the Sense podcast. I am the president of Gospel Light Society International. And as I said, this is the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Episode, believe it or not, number 700. And since it is number 700, and since this is a live recording of this podcast, it will be heard probably by millions, allow me to repeat the intro. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 700, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it or the understanding of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. And so, this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 in the Holy Word of God. In fact, that entire chapter where it says Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. The aim, therefore, of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, the church, it is my humble prayer, the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come on this earth, and saved from the eternal burning hell by following the instructions of Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher in the history of the world, who preached the gospel first and best. When he said one day long ago, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Allow me to say this. This is a major milestone in this powerful series, now one of our most popular series. One of our most popular podcasts, rather. And I thank you for being here with us, so many of you, for 700 days. And I want to thank God, first and foremost, for putting this in my heart some time ago. And it has been a rich ministry. and blessing to me, to the people here, and to many of you out there. This simple little podcast, solely based upon your heart, God's holy word. You, out of 50 podcasts that we do, you have made it one of the most popular. And that's a blessing to my heart that people are interested in reading the Holy Word of God and getting the sense of it and the understanding of it. I also want to thank my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, who at the very beginning, really, in his heart, didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be the producer of this podcast. But I insisted, and he's been faithful ever since in producing this podcast and having it ready every morning. And I thank God for that, and I thank God for him doing that. It's been a blessing, and also as his father's, one of the reasons why I wanted him to do it is the same reason why I wanted all of my children to be involved in this ministry, because they have to deal with the Word of God themselves. They have to read it themselves, and they have to get the sense of it themselves and get it in their hearts. And so I thank God for that. So we give him the glory, the praise, and honor for allowing us to see episode number 700. Today, beloved, we are reading Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you and I thank you for allowing us to do this important podcast each and every day for 700 days straight. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for putting it in my heart. Thank you, Lord, for my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, producing it and having it ready first thing every morning. And Lord, as long as he is here, help him to continue to be faithful at it. Then, Lord, if once he leaves, then, Lord, you'd raise up somebody else and continue it, because you're really just getting started, even at episode number 700. Now, Lord, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. Please forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read about earlier how that your people had to purify themselves or get purified before they came before you to worship. We need the same thing through the blood of Christ before we come and read your holy word and try to get an understanding of it. Otherwise, you may not move for us to understand it. So, Lord, I do pray that you would do that in our lives. Crucify, Lord, our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh within us. For we are an evil people, unfortunately and sadly, just as evil as the children of Israel that you had to deal with so harshly. And I do pray that you'll help us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent, and to get back to you, our first love. Lord, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us, Lord, for celebrations and tragedies. Lord, tomorrow will be a day of celebration for many, and it will also be a day of tragedy for many, sad to say. A woman got shot last night and killed at point-blank range by a strange boyfriend or husband in front of her children in a store. And already this week we've seen tragedies. Little children being killed just this morning. A toddler was killed. An older child was injured, left home alone by parents. And so, Holy Father God, prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. And, Lord, help us to be, therefore, sober-minded, vigilant. Help us to realize we're no different than others. For there are thousands upon thousands trying to get air on beds in hospitals across this nation and around the globe who are gasping for air because of the coronavirus plague. And Lord, we pray that you work and be with these people as you see fit, for you know exactly what you're doing. And now, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Teach us your holy word. Grant us your unction and your anointing. Even as we read your holy word, help us to get something from it. Help us to concentrate on it. And help us to remember it. Help us to hide it in our hearts. Help us to meditate on it, not only today, but at other times. And help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to share it with others. And help us to proclaim your holy gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Today, we are reading Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. This is a verse that I heard growing up in the old Baptist church, the old traditional Black Baptist church. I think they would quote that at the beginning of the service. I remember that from my childhood. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The last verse of this stanza is unique. In the other four woe stanzas, each concluding verse starts in the Hebrew with four. However, verse 20 opens with but. The contrast is marked, and the climax is marvelous. But the Lord is in his holy temple. From dumb man-carved idols, attention shifts to the living Lord in his holy temple. The self-existent, eternal, holy sovereign who rules the universe from his holy temple, that is heaven. Instead of shouting, arise, awake, the whole earth must stand in silent awe, and worship before him. The Hebrew word hesa, rendered be silent, means hush. For Habakkuk, the message was clear. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Stop doubting. God is not indifferent to sin. He is not insensitive to suffering. The Lord is neither inactive nor impervious. He is in control. In his perfect time, Yahweh will accomplish his divine purpose. The prophet Habakkuk was to stand in humble silence, a hushed expectancy of God's intervention. The closing verse of this woeful dirge, recorded by Habakkuk, serves as a link to the song of worship that follows in Habakkuk chapter 3. Let's pray. Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a memory of hearing these words when I was a boy in the traditional Black Baptist Church. Thank you for helping me now to understand it even better. Help us all to understand your holy word, especially those that I'm getting ready to preach your holy gospel to. Lord, open their blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears. Help them to hear and to understand the gospel and be saved today. For Lord, I have not preached unless I preach about your holy Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, who bled, and died on the cross for our sins as the sacrificial lamb who has taken away the sins of the world, his name, Jesus Christ, our Savior. If I have not preached his death, burial, and resurrection, I have not preached, I have not done anything here. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for your holy gospel. Help people who don't know you come to know you today. By the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for a sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are here with us today and you don't know the God that you should be silent before, if you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his holy Son, you don't know the God that you should be silent before. Because Jesus Christ said very clearly that no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if you do not therefore know God, get to know him today by believing in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And here's how. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Wouldn't you agree with that? You know that you're not perfect. You have said it yourself before. So, therefore, you have sinned against God. Have you ever told a lie? You have sinned against God. No matter if it's a big lie to you or a little lie, it's a big lie to God. You're guilty of sin, the sin of lying, the sin of perjury. Have you ever taken God's name in a swearing where you are swearing that you're telling the truth and you use God's holy name? You have taken God's name in vain. And so that's sin number two out of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever lusted in your heart after a beautiful person or a beautiful thing? And you coveted You had covetousness in your heart. You wanted what other people have that does not belong to you. Sin number three. Have you ever stolen anything in your life? I don't care if it was a quarter from your father's drawer or a dollar from your mother's purse to go buy some gum and candy. You have sinned against God. We're all sinners, aren't we? Have you ever dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected your parents in any way? With a bad attitude, not speaking respectfully, with rebelliousness, disobedience. I just named before you five of God's Ten Commandments, and no doubt most of you have broken them all, depending on your age. This makes you a sinner. It makes you a criminal in God's court, and you deserve to go to hell, and I deserve to go to hell as well because of our sin, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin always. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And this means that we die because of our sin. That's why we die. That's why we have funeral homes. That's why you pass by graveyards every day. That's why we have monument companies and factories ready to carve your name on a piece of marble, because one day you will die. I will die. You know why we die? Maybe you don't know. We die because of sin. Our sin. Our sinful nature and our sinful choices. I've already mentioned some sins to you. That's why we die. These priceless brains, priceless heart that pumps for years, every day on time until you die. Priceless bodies that God gave us. Priceless. You can't put a price on our bodies. You can't put a price on a brain that can make a machine, a robot, smarter than and quicker in doing things than you can do them. That's true creation. So why do these bodies die? They die because of the sin in us. We die because of sin, dear friend. So one day, no matter how great and colorful and wonderful and beautiful and rich you are, you will drop dead and they will put you in a grave. Your body will be in that grave. Your soul will live on forever. For there is a part of you that cannot die, and that is your eternal soul. And so there are two places that you could go. You can go to heaven if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, or you can go to hell when you die. But the truth of the matter is, once you die, you will be there in less than a second. Once you have completely died, your soul will either be in heaven or hell. Jesus preached about and talked about a man, as soon as he died, he was a rich man, he fed sumptuously every day. As soon as he died, it wasn't even a second, he lifted up his eyes in the torments of hell, and he's still there today. because hell is forever, just like heaven is forever. Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer. And I believe Jesus Christ preached on hell more than anybody in the world, in the history of the world, except for those preachers that he instructed to preach on hell after him. For example, I preach on hell every day because most preachers don't preach on it. But Jesus is the original one who preached on hell. He was, yes, meek and lowly, and you should be too. He was loving, as we all should be. We should follow his example. Most of us don't, even those who name the name of Christ. But he was meek and lowly. He was humble, and he was loving, and he went about doing good to help people. He fed. He was the first one to feed that 5,000 people, and he didn't have any money. It was a miracle, because he is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is God. He created the water, so he walked on the water like we walk on the ground. In a storm, we had a storm last night, a rather frightening storm. But in a storm that he was in, he told the wind to be quiet and the sea to sit down. He said, "Peace, be still." And the winds obeyed him, and the sea obeyed him. I think you need to get to know this man, personally. I'm glad I know him. He raised people from the dead with just a word. He did good. He tried to help all the people he could. He gave sight to the blind. He made the dumb to speak. He cast out devils. He gave hearing to the deaf. And did I tell you already? He raised people from the dead. I think you need to get to know him. And with all of that goodness and all of that grace and all of that love, he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. And he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Now why is that? Because he came to suffer and to bleed and to die as the sacrificial lamb of God to save your soul from hell. He was buried and he rose on the third day, proving that he is the Son of God, yea, God. So thirdly, my dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell today. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Hell is a very real place. You need to avoid going there. You need to go to that other place. And the only way you can go there is based upon what Jesus Christ told you and told everybody. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So hell is a very real place, just like New York City is a place. Hell is a place just like Rome is a place. Hell is a place just like San Jose, California is a place. And hell is bad news, but I have some very good news for you. It's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means good news. this same Jesus Christ, who was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, who preached on hell more than anybody in the entire Bible, said the most loving, sweetest, and most wonderful words known to mankind in the history of the world. And nobody uttered words like this. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," that is, in heaven with God and with Jesus Christ. You talk about love. I stand amazed, not only at God's grace, but I stand amazed at his love. The love of God. God so loved the world, that includes you and your nasty self, me and my nasty self, with all of our nastiness and sin and filth and evil, bad attitudes, pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, meanness, hatefulness, lust, fornication, that is, having sex with people outside of marriage, adultery, homosexuality, sodomy, being a sodomite, lesbian or homosexual, being a whoremonger, a male whore, a male is a whoremonger, the woman is a whore, and that's what many of us are, and yet, in our filthiness, while we were yet in sin, he commendeth his love toward us. That's love for you, Jack. That's love for you. Now, you will never experience this kind of love any place in the world. You know why? We don't have this kind of love. Even when God saves us and gives us the ability to love, it's not quite like his. Make no mistake about it. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That unconditional love that he will shed abroad in your heart, where you would have the grace to forgive people and love people anyhow. That's Jesus. That's God in you. But it's not like his love. It's a pure love. Ours sometimes is mixed with the flesh and other things, unfortunately. Oh, but the God kind of, this is love for real, man. Seriously. The thing, after 40 years of experiencing and basking in God's love and mercy and grace, I still stand amazed at his love. God, for God so loved the world. Are you in this world? Well, then God loves you. You say, "I can't believe it." I understand. But he does. And you just need to receive it. And you need to accept it. His love will change you. His love will save you. For God so loved the world that he gave. He did something because he loves us. He gave his only begotten Son. He gave up his only begotten Son as the sacrificial lamb of God, to cover and to take away all of the sins of the world. John the Baptist was the one who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, now we get down to where the rubber meets the road, where you come in, real good. That whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, Republican, Democrat, independent, makes no difference. Everybody, whosoever means anybody at any time. Whosoever what? Believeth. That's it. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to give any money to the church or to the preacher. You don't have to do any good works in the church or for the church or for other people. Just simply believe. These are the direct instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ, who preached the gospel first and best. This is the pure gospel. And not only did he preach the gospel, he preached the story of the gospel. He tells us where it came from. It came from the heart of Almighty God. Now that's love for you. Whosoever believeth, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in, to rely on, to depend on. Very simple. The simple instructions of Jesus Christ on how to be saved from hell and saved to heaven. Whosoever believeth in him who? Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, or nobody else. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ alone. If you believe in him, you should not perish. In other words, you will not be going to hell, but you will have everlasting life. And by the way, you'll have it as soon as you believe. It starts immediately. So, dear friend, just believe in your heart. Follow the simple instructions of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the simplicity of Christ. Simplicity of the gospel. And Jesus Christ made it simple, yes, and he made it easy for anybody to get it. We talk about putting things down on the sixth grade level. Jesus put this down in the kindergarten level. Little children can believe in Jesus Christ. If you're on your sick bed, you can believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to mumble a word. If you're on your deathbed, getting ready to go under one of those ventilators, you can believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. You don't have to say a mumbling word. Very simple. Yeah, anybody can do it. Everybody can do it. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, dear friend. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 13, and backs up what we've already said from the Word of God, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, ultimately. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name. Let's pray right now the sinner's prayer. Mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have committed the sins that were mentioned by this preacher. And as you know, Lord, I have committed more sins than that. I know that I am guilty and I deserve to go to the burning hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul, for Jesus Christ's sake. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, In your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. And who was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive your free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my wretched soul today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and change me and help me to truly repent of all of my sins and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as he, Jesus Christ, instructed you to do. Whenever you have any doubts or fears or lack of assurance, always go back to John 3:16, to the simple instructions of Jesus Christ himself, and ask yourself, did you believe in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation? And if your answer is yes, you're saved, because you're following the simple instructions of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Master. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, go to gospellightsociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you that will help you grow in the faith and become the strong Christian disciple that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us.